Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hour two, and we are going to have a lot of fun with this conversation this hour. I'm Matt Swaim. By day, I work for the Coming Home Network, helping people with questions about the Catholic Church and how to become Catholic. By night, at least tonight, I'm on Catholic Answers Live, helping people ask the questions that make them consider becoming Catholic. And for this hour, we're going to be focusing on the Sacrament of Reconciliation, confession, penance, all that fun stuff with Carlo Bersard. He's a staff apologist at Catholic Answers. And if you have never seen some of his short videos explaining the faith, I encourage you to head over to Catholic.com and check him out on YouTube. Carlo, are you ready for a full hour of nothing but soul-bearing awesomeness?
I am, Matt, especially with you, brother. Two baldies at it, my friend.
Two baldies at it. You know, nobody on the radio understands the glory that is emanating from our two scalps right now. All right, so 1-888-318-7884. That's 1-888-31-TRUTH if you have a question about confession. Maybe you're a Protestant wondering, why in the world are you Catholics confessing to a priest? I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. Maybe you're a Catholic who's been away from the sacrament for a while, is thinking about going back, but you're terrified. Maybe you're just wondering why you can't just say, dear God, I'm sorry, and be done with it. If you have questions about the Sacrament of Reconciliation, about confession, about how it all works, we are here for you tonight. So thank you, Carlo, for opening up the floor. Do you remember your first confession? Because I'll tell you mine here. I want to hear yours.
Actually, Matt, I'll be honest with you, brother. I have very few memories of my childhood. My wife picks on me all the time.
Well, that's a different commentary altogether.
My wife picks on me all the time because she's always telling stories about her childhood, and I'm like, I don't have anything. I just have bits and pieces of my first communion, like messing up at the ambo for the reading that I did. But other than that, I don't.
And now you're in radio.
That's right. I don't remember my first communion nor my first confession. So I must be honest and say, nope, I don't remember, Matt. Do you?
Wow. Yeah, I was 25.
That's right.
As a convert to the church, I came in on Holy
Thursday. You're a little bit more invested in it than I did.
I had a little longer list than you, who had probably punched your little brother or something. So I was in line, nervous, and this guy came in behind me in line, more nervous than me, and we made small talk in the line because I didn't know you're not supposed to make small talk in the confessional line. That was my first time. And he'd just gotten out of jail earlier that day, and
wow,
this was one of his first stops during Holy Week was to go to confession. So I thought, well, this is a sacrament for everybody.
Amen.
You know, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how bad you know you've been, this is a sacrament for everybody. Anybody who walks into that booth and tells the priest their sins is going to get them forgiven in the name of Jesus. So I've always loved this sacrament ever since I've been a Catholic. It's the one that I dread the most, and it's the one that I'm always the gladdest that I actually manned up and
Amen.
Went to. Do you think in some senses this is the manliest of all sacraments?
Well, it does indeed require effort and courage to overcome those fears that stand in the way of humbling ourselves in the presence of a priest to confess our sins. Indeed, it is manly, right? Because we have to exercise that virtue of courage to not allow the fears to keep us from the good, to overcome that difficulty. It requires a lot of humility because we have to get on our knees and acknowledge that we are sinners, we have messed up, we have offended God, and to ask the Lord through the ministry of the priest to forgive us of our sins in order to receive God's grace back into our life if we're guilty of mortal sin, and if we're guilty of only venial sin, to at least heal the wounds within the soul and to strengthen the relationship that we have with God and increase that sanctifying grace that dwells in the soul. So it's definitely a great sacrament. I concur, Matt. It's one of those sacraments that's hardest to go in, but boy, as you mentioned, it sure is nice when you walk out, because you walk in a sinner, and you walk out on your way to become a saint.
You ever cry man tears in there? Sometimes I'm surprised that the wave of emotion that hits me. Sometimes I'm like, well, I'm just going to go in, just read my list,
right,
pray the prayer, walk out, and the priest will start saying the words of absolution in the name of Jesus, and I'm just like, dang it, man. It's allergy season.
I've had man tears in the past, but it's not something that happens regularly, I must admit. So maybe you're not
as bad as me.
Well, maybe you're holier than I am because you're more in tune with the Spirit.
Maybe I just have a deeper sorrow for my sins. That's what it is.
Amen.
Well, if you have questions about the sacrament of reconciliation, we are very much interested in helping you with those questions. If you've been away for a while, if you've never been and are looking at this whole thing from the outside, if everything you know about confession is what you've seen on TV in some confessional scene or whatever, well, then right, we want to answer your questions. Let's go straight to the calls right now. Francis is listening in Honolulu, Hawaii, actually watching on YouTube Live. What's your question about confession today for Carlo Broussard?
Hi, Carlo. Hi, Matt. I've been away from confession for about 10 years, and I'm just struggling with the fear of going back and possibly, like, what the priest might ask me to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're wondering what sort of steps would might be helpful to overcome that fear? Did we lose Francis, or is he still on? Okay. Well,
hopefully, Francis, you're still listening. Yeah, but this is one of the questions right here.
Amen.
How do you overcome the fear?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think, Francis, if you're still listening, a key one thing to keep in mind is that the sacrament of confession is a gift that Jesus has come to this earth to give us. It's a gift that he's given us to administer his mercy, his forgiveness, his grace, in order to help us become the saints that we're called to be. The only negative aspect of the sacrament of confession is that it involves confessing our sins. You have bad things that are sort of the material of the sacrament, right? The verbal confession of our sins. But it's all ordered toward the good, for the sanctification of our soul, for the reunification with Jesus Christ, so that we can grow in that grace or receive the grace back if we're guilty of mortal sin, so that we can be strengthened in this journey of faith to make it to our ultimate destiny of heaven and become the saints that we're called to be. It's all ordered toward love. Jesus loves you, Francis, so much that he wants to be intimately united to you. And one of the means or the ways by which he intends to do that is through the sacrament of confession. So it's all about entering into that intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as well as the relationship with the church, because through the sacrament of confession, we're not only reconciled back to Jesus, but with his body, namely the church, through which we receive the graces that Jesus intends to give us through the sacraments, through the Holy Eucharist, etc. So I would just say, Francis, that it's all about the good. It's all about the love that Christ has for you. Now, with regard to maybe being afraid of what the priest might say or require of you, first of all, let me just say, Francis, if you're still listening, you're not going to be able to tell the priest anything that he hasn't heard already. I mean, the sacrament of confession is primarily for mortal sins. So the priest in the sacrament of confession is going
to... The guy behind me in line had just gotten out of jail.
You go, brother.
You're not going to surprise the priest.
Amen. So with regard to having a fear of telling the priest, you know, those deep and darkest secrets and sins, have no fear, brother, because the priest is there to administer God's mercy. That's it. He wants to hear your confession, hear your sorrow, and all he will do is grant unto you God's mercy and absolve you. Now, with regard to penance, it does involve having to intend to turn away from the sins that we're committing, to turn away from the sins that we're confessing. God does want that from us because he wants a loving relationship with us, and he wants us to get rid of whatever's keeping us from that relationship with us or with him, or get away from that which is weakening that relationship with him. So it will require having this, what we call in theology, a firm purpose of amendment, the intention to no longer commit the sin. But Francis, keep in mind that that's a good, because you want to be united with Christ. And so consequently, you want to get rid of that which is keeping you away from Christ, because only in Christ, Francis, can you experience that true human happiness that God intends for us to experience.
And again, if you're like most of the priests, if your priest is like most of the priests I know, this is one of their favorite things about being a priest, being part of what St. Paul refers to as the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
Setting people free.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Through that ministry of reconciliation, we become new creations. I mean, initially we become a new creation through the sacrament of baptism, but in a sense, when we commit mortal sin, Matt, we die spiritually. And through this ministry of reconciliation, in the sacrament of confession, we spiritually are resurrected, just as Christ resurrected Lazarus from physical death to physical life. Christ spiritually resurrects us from spiritual death to spiritual life, and that's something to rejoice in.
That's something to get excited about. We're just getting started on this hour of Catholic Answers Live. Your questions about confession, I'm Matt Swaim. Carlo Broussard has already dropped a little bit of scripture on you in relation to the sacrament. If you have more questions about how this all works, how do we find it in the Bible, give us a call, 1-888-318-7884. We got Patrick, Andrea, others on the line, and we're going to come back to you, answer your questions on Catholic Answers Live next.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Broussard, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited time offer we've got right now on subscriptions of our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of 5 exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011. Or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a 2-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers including Chris Check, Tim Staples, Trent Horn, and Cy Kellett, and my talk, The Splendor of the Catholic Faith. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live, and I'm looking forward to meeting you this September 28th to 30th at our 4th annual National Apologetics Conference here in beautiful San Diego. This is one conference you are not going to want to miss. The theme is the reunion of all Christians, and we've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. For almost 4 decades, Catholic Answers has been engaging our separated brethren in charity to bring them to the fullness of the truth. Join us for a lively and inspiring conference designed to help you play an active part in the reunion of all Christians. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith. Seats are available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Before we get to the calls, I want to let you know there's a pretty cool deal going on. The annual Catholic Answers Magazine subscription drive is underway with special pricing. It'd make a great perfect Father's Day gift if you're looking for something to get to dad, get for dad for Father's Day. So here's how it works. You sign up for a one-year subscription, you get $10 off the subscription price. If you become a two-year subscriber, you get the price dropped to $20, and you get a customized Catholic Answers flash drive. And this is great. So just as the tortilla chip is the ultimate delivery device for your favorite salsa or dip, the Catholic Answers flash drive is the ultimate delivery device for the best talks from your favorite apologists, Carlo Broussard, Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and others. So go to Catholic.com, sign up today, and this is a really good deal. You get if you get Catholic Answers magazine, you're going to get the best of the best from the best. So check it out. Again, Catholic.com. We're going to go straight to the calls. Patrick is in Rockwall, Texas on the EWTN app. Patrick, what's your question for Carlo Broussard? Do we have you, Patrick?
Non-Christians or maybe just non-Catholics receiving reconciliation. I know in general we say they can't, and I'm wondering where that comes from, if there's a biblical reference, like, you know, how for the Eucharist they say right there, if you're not a believer, you're drinking damnation.
Hmm. Okay. Well, with regard to the origins, the first thing that comes to mind, Patrick, is with regard to the church having the authority to bind and loose. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, that language of binding and loosing coming from the Jewish tradition, connoting the sort of juridical authority, right? Having the authority to oversee, to govern the people of God, and in particular, the sacraments that Christ gave to the church. So the church has the authority to stipulate to whom the sacraments will be given, etc. That's the first thought that comes to mind. Secondly, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament given for the members of the mystical body of Christ, for not only those who are members of the mystical body of Christ invisibly, but also those who are part of the visible body of Christ within the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, because not only does it communicate those blessings and those graces that we often talk about, namely the forgiveness of sins, the healing of the wounds of sin within the soul, and even the remission of partial remission of temporal punishment. But also the sacrament of reconciliation, like all the other sacraments, is a sign of unity with the church. And I think this is the key for why the church would say that non-Catholic Christians would be unable to receive the sacrament of reconciliation ordinarily, because to do so would be saying, I am in union with the Catholic Church, but if they're not, well, then that would sort of be a lie, you might say, you know, a false, bearing false witness. The visible action wouldn't be matching up with the interior disposition of the individual. And for the sake of our listeners, Patrick, you know, the Code of Canon Law, paragraph Canon 844, is where we see the church stipulating that the sacraments are licitly, that is to say, they're only given in a permissive way to Catholic members of the Christian faithful alone. But it does go on to give sort of extraordinary conditions or extraordinary circumstances where a non-Catholic Christian could receive, or even a non-Christian, it's in general here, a non-Christian could receive the sacrament, in particular the sacrament of baptism. But if we're talking about the sacrament of reconciliation, there could be circumstances that would come about where a baptized non-Catholic Christian could receive the sacrament of reconciliation, but it would have to be in extraordinary circumstances, like on their deathbed or something like that. So that's just for the sake of our listeners. That's Canon 844 and the subsequent subpoints to that canon, the Code of Canon Law.
With that, though, you raise an interesting point, Patrick. The idea of non-Catholic Christians wanting or feeling a need for some kind of confession that goes beyond just them and God. I mean,
right.
Growing up in a situation where people would come forward and you know, during an altar call at the end of church, or where people would you know, be in small groups for accountability or things like that, there's a sense within a lot of non-Catholic Christian communities that confession is good for the soul, even if they don't have a sacramental kind of delivery system for it.
Sure.
So it is a question that I think You know, a lot of non-Catholics have thought to themselves, you know, I wish we had something like confession, even just for kicks, to be able to go to once in a while.
Yeah, you know, Matt, you bring up an important point, because there are some practical benefits, you know, not just the absolution of sin and the grace is communicated to heal the soul, but, you know, it also helps form our conscience and turn us back toward God, because we're constantly having to reflect and examine our conscience. It helps in the fight against evil and the temptations that evil causes, because we're receiving graces to overcome those temptations. And as I mentioned, it helps heal the wounds that sin causes within the soul. Even though we can be forgiven of the sin, we receive those graces to help heal those wounds and to become more spirit-filled. And to get to your point about the need for sort of a public verbal confession, I couldn't agree more, because there are these practical benefits, right? Now, you mentioned, Matt, you brought up a good idea. You know, if a Protestant is saying, wow, I want to receive the sacrament of reconciliation, if there's anybody out there who is thinking that, well, then it's not that we're saying, no, you can't receive it. Yes, of course you can receive it, but you're going to need to go through what we call the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, the RCIA process. Go to your local Catholic church, talk to the priest, and that priest can guide, if there are any Protestants out there listening who want to receive the sacraments and become Catholic, that priest will guide him or her through the process necessary to prepare them so that they know what they're receiving, right? Because in order to fully love and to come into that union with Christ, we need to first know, because the will follows the mind, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say. So it's important to go through that training or coming to an awareness and understanding of what the sacrament is in order that the individual can make a positive act of the will and say, yes, I want that.
Plus, if you're a baptized, confirmed Catholic, missing Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin. So if you go to confession, then go back to your Baptist church on Sunday, you've blown the whole thing up.
Yeah, if there's anybody out there who has committed mortal sin, I would encourage them to get back to confession.
Get back to confession, man. You'll thank Carlo and I secondarily, but you'll thank yourself primarily, and actually probably the Holy Spirit primarily, because trust Amen. Us, you will be glad you went. I am never not glad that I've gone to confession, even as reluctant as I've been at some points to go. Let's go to Andrea. We can get her call in before the break. Andrea's listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Minnesota. Wow. That's almost as bad as I did with Albuquerque earlier. Listening on Sirius XM. Andrea, what's your question for Carlo Broussard about confession?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I'm a recent convert myself. I was converted when I was 26, and my entire family is not Catholic, and they don't go to church, but they are professed Christians. My question is, can I go to confession for my mother? She's expressed her sins to me, but she has a very hard heart towards the church, any church, not just the Catholic Church. And my fear, even after years of prayer, that she will never come to reconciliation with the Lord and her sins. So,
well, the short answer to your question, Andrea, would be no, that you wouldn't be able to go to confession on behalf of your mother. The sacrament of confession is only for the penitent. The proper, what we call the matter of the sacrament, is that you have to be within physical proximity, so like you can't go over the phone or something, and you have to confess your sins, whether that be verbally, if you're able to speak, or if you're unable to speak, through sign language of some sort, to manifest to the priest your sins and also your contrition in order that he can judge whether to forgive or to retain, as Jesus speaks about in John chapter 20, verse 23. So the sacrament of confession is only for you, the sinner, confessing your sins. It can't be done on behalf of another. Now, with that said, Andrea, that doesn't mean that you can't continue to pray for your mother in this endeavor and never give up hope. hope, Andrea, because Christ calls us to persevere in prayer. And it, in God's infinite wisdom, it may very well be that he's calling you to grow in sanctity, in holiness, in virtue of perseverance in prayer, to increase the capacity for love within your own heart, that at some moment in the future, in God's infinite plan, he, one of your consistent prayer will bring about the effect of a special outpouring of grace upon your mother to move her heart, to soften her heart. It may take time. It may be within God's plan that it's his will that the graces are going to be administered to your mother over time, so that her heart is over time softened to where at the right moment she'll be able to come to the fullness of the truth revealed to us by Jesus and entrusted to the Catholic Church and experience the fullness of truth and life in Catholicism. So don't give up hope, Andrea. Keep praying.
And if I could put just in a short plug for our own, my own apostolate, the Coming Home Network, Amen. Deals with converts all day long who they've come over, but their family hasn't. And, you know, what are we supposed to do with that? So if you go to chnetwork.org and especially explore our online community, you'll find a lot of people who are sorting out this question who might have some practical help for you in that regard, just based on their own experience. Carla Broussard is taking your questions on confession. Catholic Answers returns next.
Summer is coming, and with it, teens, young adults, and even adult friends and family will find themselves with a lot of free time on their hands. The good news is that Catholic Answers has something to fill up that free time. Two great graphic novels that combine visual excitement and quirky humor with philosophy and theology. The Truth is Out There and its sequel, The Big Picture, follow two heroes as they travel through time and space, discovering truths about life, God, the Church, and eventually embarking on an exciting adventure along the timeline of salvation history. These books are so appealing, we guarantee if you just leave them sitting around, someone in the household will pick them up and read, and better yet, enjoy and learn from them. The Truth is Out There and The Big Picture are also great catechetical tools for youth ministry, college classrooms, campus outreach, high school programs, RCIA, and parish family programs, and more. The Truth is Out There and The Big Picture are available individually or packaged together at a very special price. Get yours today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or visiting a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for the best and solid Catholic resources that can answer your questions on all things Catholic? Looking for books, audio, and DVDs by the top Catholic thinkers and speakers on the planet today? Stop in today and visit the shop at Catholic.com. All of our resources are time-tested, apologist-vetted, and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. There's no better source for solid Catholic resources anywhere on the Internet. When you're shopping for good Catholic books, CD, DVDs, and more, turn to someone you can trust. Visit the shop at Catholic.com today. That's shop.catholic.com.
Jerry Usher.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. Well, I would describe myself as a revert. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
It is Catholic Answers Live, and we hope that you're having a blessed day and that we're providing some semblance of understanding to your confused world. And, you know, a friend of mine is working on a T-shirt, Carlo Broussard, based on the old World War II poster that used to go up in England, the one that says "Keep calm and carry on." He wants to make one that says "Keep calm and go to confession." You know, because at least for me, Matt Swaim, when the whole world is going crazy, my reaction is often to say, I'm going to go on Twitter and talk about how terrible the world is, or I'm going to, gripe about politics or, world news to my family. Very few times is my instant reaction, you know what? I should be holier. You know, I should convert myself. I should go to confession. And really, when I have that reaction, on the rare times that I do, the world may not necessarily be this completely better place, but my little corner of it sure is. And I can testify to that wholeheartedly, that the Sacrament of Reconciliation has at least changed my little corner of the world quite a few times.
Amen. Amen to that. I just went yesterday with Father Vincent Serpa.
All right. I had a whole hour with him to test him on breaking the seal of confession.
And it was fantastic. I can't remember the exact paragraph, Matt, but the Catechism actually talks about, when it's talking about the effects of the Sacrament of Confession, it mentions in there that with the Sacrament of Confession, there comes a temporal benefit, sort of this spiritual joy and tranquility and peace that comes with it. So that's something to keep in mind for our listeners out there who are hesitant to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It does indeed give us blessings, not just for the spirit, for the soul, but also physically as well and emotionally, to help us not only become the saints we're called to be, but to become better people within our relationships with our loved ones.
Lowers my blood pressure.
Amen to that.
I don't know if it technically does, but it feels like it does. All right, going back to the calls. Anonymous in Sacramento, California, on Immaculate Heart Radio. What's your question for Carlo Brassard today?
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I'm on Bluetooth. So it's a little bit different for me in the sense that I go to Mass daily, and I have a discipline where I go to confession twice a month regardless. Pepper, high water, I'm going to be going to confession. And I have some guides to help me to prepare, right, either based on the Ten Commandments or, based on my state of life. The USCCB has them as well. But at times I can find myself feeling like, what do I have to confess? Or, gee, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's a struggle with contrition or if I'm just I'm not really that aware of the sin in my life, and I'm not talking about scrupulosity either. But I'm just wondering if you can share if it's just me who struggles with this or there's a better way to prepare. How can I really, dig in deep and like that? Because sometimes it feels like sort of like rote.
Right.
Yeah, and just to be clear about your question, you say you go twice a month, not because of scrupulosity, but because that's a spiritual
practice,
discipline plan that you've set up for yourself.
It's part of a plan of life that I have for myself. Pray the rosary daily.
Right.
Sure.
Twice a month, go to Mass daily. That sort of thing.
Which is very different than what we were talking about last hour with Father Vincent Serpa about scrupulosity and just feeling like you're not forgiven. So, Carlo, what do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to compliment Anonymous for taking that step and frequenting the Sacrament of Reconciliation a couple of times a month like that. I think that's a great practice to have. Most people will encourage at least once a month, but twice a month is great as well. With regard to the feeling of, you mentioned how you just feel like it's just rote, you're going through the through the motions, right? We must always remember, Anonymous, that we're not to gauge the growth or the progression of our spiritual life based upon feelings. But Christ calls us to stay faithful to those things, those spiritual practices, pious actions that we're going through our prayer life, regardless of whether the feeling is there or not. Now, granted, it's not a sin if you don't go twice a month. We have our certain spiritual disciplines that we place for ourselves, but we're not bound to those spiritual disciplines. If something happens, you don't go twice a month and you just go once a month because you can't think of any sins to bring to the Sacrament of Confession, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to make up sins, right, and go to the Sacrament of Confession. And I know you
because that would be lying, and you'd have to confess that.
That's right. So, and I know you're probably not doing that, but I think, Anonymous, the heart of your question is, like you don't really know exactly what you're doing that's bad in order to take to the sacrament of confession. So my one thought that comes to mind, Anonymous, is the daily or nightly examine of our conscience is key to where every night before bed or every day we take some moment of time, particularly in the evening, because you're able to reflect upon your day in order to think about the ways in which you may have offended the Lord, whether directly or through others, and offending him by offending somebody else, or offending him within your own thoughts, within your words, what you've done, what you failed to do. You know, you don't necessarily have to use the list of Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and et cetera, the resources that are provided. Those are helpful. But it's just a matter of staying close to the Lord, Anonymous. Try to stay close to the Lord, practicing the presence of God. And here's what I've found in my own life, Matt and Anonymous, if you're still listening. A lot of times I'll mess up, right? I'll fail in love in some way, whether grave or venially, and then I'll forget about it, right? So one of the things that I do, Anonymous, is when I mess up, whether I fail to love my wife in the way that I'm called to love her, whether I don't pay attention to my kids when I should have been paying attention to them, maybe I'm on my phone on Facebook or something, when I notice it, right when I notice that I've sinned, I'll actually jot it down, whether it's on a notepad or in my phone. I have this, you know, ongoing examination of conscience to where I'll jot it down in my phone. And as I'm making that list of sins that I've committed, then I look at that exam and I say, okay, now it's time to go to the sacrament of confession. Whether that's in a week or whether that's 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it may be, at least I'm in this habit of jotting down those sins as I commit them so that I don't forget them. Now, here's another important point, Anonymous, that somebody might ask. Well, Carlo, isn't it true that the church teaches that you can be forgiven of venial sins when you privately confess to the Lord that you're sorry? And it is true that venial sins can be remitted through a private confession to the Lord without the sacrament of reconciliation. However, the church still encourages us to take our venial sins to the sacrament of confession precisely because we receive the graces to help us remove the obstacles, right, that keep us from the Lord. And we also receive a remission of temporal punishments of the sin or temporal consequences of the sin that have already been forgiven privately. So there are still spiritual benefits to taking those venial sins that we've privately asked God's mercy for and forgiveness for to the sacrament of confession to continue to receive the other spiritual blessings, such as the strengthening of the soul and uniting us closer with Jesus.
Does that help, Anonymous?
It does. It does. And thank you for the examine. It's something that I've struggled with a long time in getting. You know, there's the five steps of the Ignatian one, and at times I struggle with it, but I think writing it down is good, and it just occurred to me, if I write it down on my phone gets lost, and somebody finds it.
Yeah, you might not want to do that, brother.
No, but then I get to enjoy the virtue of humility, right, which combats pride, so no, perfect, so those are two great helps. Thank you very much for sharing.
You're welcome.
You're my kind of guy, Anonymous.
That's right. Yeah, you might want to keep your phone away from your wife, man. You don't want your wife going through your notes, right?
These murderous threats against my wife under her breath when she turned her head. You know,
whatever method you want to employ. But I think just sort of, and what helps too, Matt, you know, that helps you keep you on your toes. It helps you consistently be thinking about your growth in the spiritual life, whether you're going forward or backward. It brings to light the things that you need to work on, because as you jot them down, you're able to see, oh, wow, I committed that sin a few days ago and I forgot about it. And here I am doing it again. So apparently this is something I need to work on.
This is a pattern in my life.
That's right. Yet another benefit of this practice.
People notice when you get a handle on venial sins, but they may not be able to put their finger on it, but they notice when something's changed, when you stopped you know, rushing to say something nasty about somebody that you usually would say something nasty about. People notice those little things.
Amen. I know. For me, Matt, I love to talk. So just the simple fact of not talking sometimes,
Carl,
and letting somebody
else talk. Carl is quiet today.
Did
the Holy Spirit get a hold of him?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of speaking, before we hit the break, I want to let people know that you can get your early bird registration in now for the Keys to Christian Unity. That's the name of the conference coming up this September 28th through the 30th in beautiful San Diego, California. Again, the theme of this Catholic Answers Conference is the reunion of all Christians. 3 days of talks. Mark Brumley will be there, Devin Rose, Professor Steve Weidenkopf. You're going to be there, Carlo Bersard. Do you have your talk planned out yet? I know September's a long way away.
Yeah, I actually have it in outline form. I do need to work on it quite a bit, though, so I'm actually going to get to it next week. But the title of my presentation is The Keys to Christian Unity, obviously drawing from Matthew 16:19, where Christ gives Peter the keys of the kingdom, talking about the necessity of having the papacy as a visible source of unity, as the fundamental key for Christian unity, and then looking at some practical keys of, if we were Pope, right? What are some practical ways that we could go about, or the popes have gone about, in order to bring about Christian unity with our separated brethren?
And again, as you know, with our apostolate here at the Coming Home Network, that's one of the key areas of what we do. If you've ever watched the Journey Home program, which we produce, you know how many people who have tried to figure out what Christian unity means have eventually had to wrestle with that question of authority. You know,
Amen.
Who has the authority to teach? And that's going to come up, I would think, only 11 billion times at this conference.
Amen. So. Amen.
All right, CatholicAnswersConference.com. Again, that's CatholicAnswersConference.com. Register today. Get the early bird registration in, because the early bird catches the worm. And if that's the kind of thing that you're into eating, then go to CatholicAnswersConference.com today. We're going to hit a break. Come back. Talk to Beatrice. And I don't think anybody else on the call line has a name that starts with a B. But we'll talk to all of you when Catholic Answers returns in a moment.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Bersard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 12:4, some Sadducees who refused to believe in the resurrection challenged Jesus with a hypothetical situation in which a woman was the widow of seven brothers who died consecutively. At the resurrection, whose wife would she be? Our Lord responded that they were misled because they knew neither the Scripture nor the power of God. He explained that after the husband and wife rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. In this, they are like angels. The Pharisees had an agenda. In this instance, they are intent on justifying their lack of belief in the resurrection. They're not much concerned about the truth. Jesus takes the opportunity to speak of heaven as union with God and the fulfillment of every human desire. We all need to listen to him about his plans for us. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
We thank you for staying with us for this special hour devoted to questions about the Sacrament of Reconciliation on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Matt Swaim, the Communications Coordinator for the Coming Home Network International, filling in on Catholic Answers Live. You can find them online at Catholic.com. Watch the live stream of today's show on YouTube. Check us out on Facebook Live and on your local terrestrial Catholic radio station, on the apps of EWTN and Catholic Answers, and other different avenues. We're everywhere. We're not hard to find. If you just Google the word Catholic, actually, you can find us that way because that's how fast we pop up.
Wow.
We're going to go to the calls. Go to Beatrice in Dallas, Texas on Guadalupe Radio and your question for Carlo Broussard.
Hi, yes, I just had a question. So why is it that we, we confess our sins to the priest? And why is it not allowed for us to just confess our sins to ourselves and just like speak to God to ourselves?
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, Beatrice, the Catholic Church is not opposed to confessing your sins straight to God. When you are aware that you've committed a sin, you can go straight to God and say, God, I'm sorry for this sin. And as the Church teaches, if it's a venial sin, and what that means is it's a sin that doesn't really destroy your relationship with God, or the life of God in your soul, we call it sanctifying grace, but simply weakens it, then God will forgive you of that venial sin. But things are a little bit different for what we call mortal sin, those sins that destroy God's life in the soul. So we're not saying that you can't go straight to God to confess your sins. But what we are saying is that, Beatrice, Jesus set it up in such a way that he intends for us to receive his mercy, the forgiveness of sins in ordinary circumstances, through the ministry of his ordained ministers. In the first century, that would be the apostles, and for after the apostolic age, it would be their successors, those men whom they ordained to be bishops and the men that the bishops would ordain to be priests, all the way down to current day Christianity, where we have priests who have valid holy orders and the power to administer the forgiveness of sins. Now, Beatrice, you might be wondering, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, we see a clear indication of this in John chapter 20, verses 20 through 23 is the sort of immediate context. And Beatrice, in that passage, Jesus tells the apostles, after breathing on them the Holy Spirit, he says, as the Father has sent me, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. What is he sending them to do? He says in verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That is to say, if you forgive sins, they will be forgiven. If you don't forgive sins, they will not be forgiven. So clearly, Jesus is giving the apostles the authority to judge whether to forgive sins or not to forgive sins, which necessarily implies, Beatrice, that the penitent, the sinner, make his sins known to the apostles, as well as whether or not they're sorry for their sins, in order for the apostle to judge whether to forgive or not to forgive. And so there is a clear indication that Jesus invests his apostles or his disciples here, his ministers, that core group of guys that were following him and whom he was teaching, and he gives them the authority to forgive sins. Of course, through his power. They don't have the power in themselves to forgive sins, but they forgive sins with the power of Jesus. And it's that power that would be transmitted to other men, namely their successors, men who would succeed them in their apostolic office, in their ministry as apostles, to forgive sins, as well as teaching the truth and communicating God's life through the sacrament of baptism.
Which brings up a second question, Beatrice, that you may be thinking, what if that priest himself is not that great of a guy? You know, what if he's a sinner? What good does it do to go confess my sins to a guy who's a jerk and a clown and everybody knows it?
Yeah, well, Matt, you know, it's not about the holiness of the priest that gives him the power to forgive sins. He has the power to forgive sins based upon possessing this apostolic office and this ministry, this authority that's invested in the institutional office itself, whether it be the bishopric, the bishops, or the presbyteros, the priests who are ordained by valid bishops. So it's not a matter of their holiness that gives them this. It's not a personal charism. It's an institutional charism, so that whoever possesses the office, the institutional office, has the authority invested with the office.
Does that help, Beatrice?
Okay.
She's stunned into silence by the brilliance of your response, Carla.
No.
All right, we're doing our best here on Catholic Answers Live, and going to take another couple calls. We got time. I think we can fit almost everybody in that's on the line now. Cassie's in Parkersburg, West Virginia, listening on the EWTN app. Cassie, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Yes.
What's your question?
Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Hope you'll bear with me.
That's all right. I'm kind of nervous, too, to be honest. So, this radio thing is not as easy as it looks. So we're all in this together.
Oh, I know, right?
Go for it.
Amen.
So my question is, as a new convert, like, I was told in my RCIA class that, like, basically you can choose, like, whether you want to go behind the veil or sit in front of the priest, like, in the chair. And I was in confession, I don't know, a few weeks back, like out of town to a priest I don't normally go to. And I knelt behind the veil. I said hello to the priest. And then he actually told me to come sit in the chair in front of him, which kind of weirded me out. Like, and I kind of got the sense that if I didn't do that, he wouldn't hear my confession. So even though I wanted to stay right where I was, I went and sat down and proceeded. But I went with a friend of mine who I was talking with later, and this friend was not told to come from behind the veil. So I'm not sure why the priest did this. Like, he didn't say, and I didn't ask. But I guess my question is, like, if he allowed to do that, like, does he get to determine whether you confess in one spot or the other, or are you allowed to really determine that?
Yeah,
all right, Cassie, I'll tell you, this happened to me once. This has only ever happened to me once, and right. It was when I flagged a priest down after daily mass and asked for confession, and he went behind the screen, and I went behind the screen, and he said, "Why are you behind the screen? I just saw you. You personally told me to come back here. Just go ahead and sit in the chair." Now, that was a weird circumstance, but it sounds like Cassie is dealing with something where she was maybe a little bit nervous, like she is nervous talking to people like you and
right.
You know, and maybe felt put on the spot and didn't feel comfortable saying, should I, should I not? So,
right. Yeah. So, Cassie, I'm not a canon lawyer, so I can't, speak definitively here, but based upon what I've found and what I know, the Code of Canon Law in Canon 964, number 2, it states this: the Conference of Bishops is to establish norms regarding the confessional. It is to take care, however, that there are always confessionals with a fixed grate between the penitent and the confessor in an open place so that the faithful who wish can use them freely. So it appears to me, Cassie, that according to the Code of Canon Law, It is to be ensured that you have that option. And it would seem to me, upon first glance, that for the priest to ask you to sit face to face, it would seem as if he would be overstepping his boundaries there in giving you that ability to determine which method you're going to receive the sacrament of confession with, whether face-to-face or behind the veil, so to speak. So that's what I would say right off the bat. Like I said, I'm not an expert in canon law, so there may very well be some loophole that I'm not aware of that would give the priest permission to determine that. But upon my first reading, it would seem to me that the penitent has the option to determine that when it's available, and the church seems to be saying that churches ought to see to it that it is available, and that when you do choose to be anonymous in the confessional, that the priest ought not to demand that you go face to face. So this is one of those events, for whatever reason he asked you to do that, we simply don't know. But I would definitely not let it keep you from going back to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, just perhaps going to another parish, to another priest, and hopefully you'll have a better experience with another priest.
And it could have even been something as simple as he heard on the other side of the screen that maybe it sounded like you were a little uncomfortable, and he thought, you know, just maybe come around the chair, and maybe
That's
you'd
right.
be, feel a bit more comfortable just talking to me.
That's right, because sometimes face-to-face, person-to-person interaction is actually helpful to make it less intimidating.
And sometimes if you're like me and Cassie and you're a convert to Catholicism, it's more terrifying than the screen. So, yeah, just let the priest know if you get in that situation again. And
right.
I would think that most of them would be willing to just to work with you on that and try and make you feel most comfortable so that you can get the job done.
Amen. A simple Father, I'm not comfortable with that, would suffice.
All right, Carlo Broussard, it's been a fast hour. Thank you for sharing it with me.
You're welcome, Matt.
Listeners.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
All right. I'm Matt Slame of the Coming Home Network. Grateful to be filling in on Catholic Answers Live for the past 2 hours. Come visit me at chnetwork.org. Come visit Catholic Answers at catholic.com. Find all kinds of awesome resources, video, print, digital, and beyond. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.